Thank you, Jim. It's interesting that you led with that article, clipping from the L.A. Times. For those of you who are old enough to remember the famous movie Chinatown, which made Jack Nicholson a world star, what was the narrative underpinning of that movie, Water in the Los Angeles Basin? our next presenter is Chris Hill-Kane, who's the chair of the water program at the National Roundtable on the Environment and the Economy. Chris?
Well, thank you. Good morning, everyone. As was just mentioned, I'm going to be here to talk to you a little bit about the work that the National Roundtable on the Environment and the Economy is doing on water right now. If you're not familiar with our organization, I'll give you the soupy sales in 25 words or less description. We were created about 21 years ago by an act of Canadian Parliament to be an arm's length, an independent advisor on issues where there's an interface between the environment and the economy. A lot of people think of us as a think tank. I think that's probably an accurate description, but we also do more than that. We're seen as a convener and a catalyst of change when it comes to sustainable development. Most people know us recently for our work on climate change, particularly carbon pricing. You've heard about talk about carbon taxes, cap and trade. You've probably come across our work. But we've also been focusing a lot on water. And about a year and a half ago, we started a program on Canada's water and the future of our natural resources sectors. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. It's the program is broken into two phases, the first part being a diagnostic, so it's a problem definition. We're looking at current and projected water use by the natural resource sectors. And when I'm talking natural resource sectors, I mean agriculture, forestry, mining, and the energy sectors. And we're looking at the key issues facing those sectors. We're examining water management and governance across Canada. And we're trying to get a better understanding of the impacts of climate change, as Jim was just talking about. We are just finishing off the diagnostic, and that's the part I'm going to focus on today. But I also want to talk a little bit about phase two, is where we get into the solutions. It's a phase that we're just starting, but at the end of the presentation, I'd like to give you a sort of a little forecast of what you can expect, and I think that'll tie in very nicely with Karen's presentation. So, why focus on the natural resource sectors? There are a number of good reasons, both environmental and economic. Primarily, those four sectors that I mentioned collectively represent the majority of water use in this country. Some estimates that I've seen go say as much as 87% of water use in Canada is attributed to those four sectors. The data's sketchy. The estimates are, don't put too much faith in it, but it's a huge water use. The other thing is, it's pretty important to our economy. By the 2009 numbers that we've seen, it represents those four sectors represent 14% of GDP. They represent about 50% of our exports, and about half of that is energy-related. They also represent about 1 million direct jobs. When you get indirect jobs, you can see it has a pretty big part of our economy. And more importantly, the projections that we have between now and 2030 say that those sectors are going to grow by 50 to 65%, and they rely heavily on water. And even with increased efficiencies, we're likely to see consumption and water use go up. So if we're going to have a water reality check on the natural resources sectors, there's a few things that we need to understand. What are the most important water uses by the natural resource sectors? What are the critical issues surrounding water use for the sectors? Current actions and plans or lack thereof for addressing the issues? And future areas that we need to pay attention to now so that we can ensure we have sustainable water supplies in the future? Don't have a lot of time to get into detail on these things, but on the specific issues, but we do have a major report on this coming out in the, towards the end of the spring, so stay tuned and you can delve into it at that time. But here's just some general observations that we've had so far. The solutions to the issues when it comes to these sectors are as unique as the problems themselves. For energy and the agricultural sectors, future water availability is a huge concern. It needs a lot of attention for future planning. When it comes to mining and forestry, they are not nearly as concerned about availability for water because it's not quite as important to them in terms of their operations. But there, you know, you may see on a regional basis that those industries will be impacted as well. While we're talking mostly quantity, all of those sectors have an impact on water quality, and so that's going to be an important factor going forward as well. Another thing we've noticed is that information and data concerning water use by the sectors is pretty spotty. In some cases, they have very good data. In some cases, it's not good or it's absent. So overall, the national picture of water use within and between the four natural resource sectors is highly variable, and it's really difficult to make comparisons based on the data that we have today. Another thing that we've learned is that all of the sectors are working to reduce their water use, either for economic or social reasons. There's a direct linkage between water use in the natural resource sectors and energy consumption. So economics of that is a pretty strong driver for water conservation. The public license to operate is also currently important and will continue to be an important driver of water efficiency and conservation in those sectors. But there are also some barriers noted by the sectors for improved water use. A pretty striking example is if you think of pulp and paper plants, mills. Their effluent regulatory requirements in terms of effluent concentrations actually sometimes mean that they have to inject more water to meet the concentration levels than is required. There are also a lack of incentives right now for innovation and research, particularly in the forestry industry, where they've seen a really a hard time over the last few years. So this is sort of the foreshadowing part, I guess. We've identified what we think are four key issues that are the next phase is really going to get into. The first one being governance and management, the second being water resources and climate change, the third being the water energy nexus, and the fourth being that public license to operate issue. Governance and management is the most significant, I think, of all of them, and it's an often identified critical issue, and it's one that's while there will be a lot of learnings about for the sector, it's one that's transferable. You're going to see it have impacts for other sectors as well. A couple of the things that the sum up from that we've gotten so far is that we need a more collaborative approach to governance. We need a stronger engagement of the federal government. We need to review water allocation approaches across the country. We need a broader suite of policy instruments to drive improvements of water use. We need integrated watershed resource management approaches. And we need more complete, reliable, consistent, and verifiable water use information that is centralized and accessible. I'm not going to talk too much about water and climate change because I think Jim did a fantastic job and David Schindler addressed that as well yesterday, but that's the second big one. The third one is this water energy nexus. From an industrial production perspective, water is needed to produce energy, and energy is needed to produce usable water. The sectors commonly identify financial savings through energy use reductions as a main driver for improving water use. And while there are some opportunities for conservation that where you're simultaneously reducing water use and energy use, there are going to be trade-offs at some times or direct conflicts. For example, when you get into the climate change issue, some people will argue if you want to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and air pollutants from the energy sector, you have to think about nuclear as one of the solutions. Well, nuclear power requires a whole lot of reliable water to do it, to produce that power. So you may actually have a water use issue that you create by trying to address a greenhouse gas emission issue. And lastly, I'll just mention the license to operate point. More than 8 in 10 Canadians currently believe that Canada will have a freshwater shortage problem if conservation measures are not put in place. And you have to contextualize that and say it's, you know, these are regional impacts that we're talking about, because some places will actually, under a climate change scenario, will have more water. And, you know, you've seen it from the polling presentation that we've had, and you've seen it in the media, everything. This is a growing concern. With the real potential for increased water use across the country, with the potential for more pressure to use the same water resources, possibly arising in competing uses, we have a challenge here where the natural resource sectors are going to be in competition with themselves as well as other users, and so the industry and governance both need to start addressing that now. Thank you very much.